All right, Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. Again, thank you folks for coming this morning. And boy, I wish you'd be faithful. Be faithful to church. Please be back tonight, 7 p.m. Don't forget our Wednesday midweek service at 7 p.m. also. And just a lot of good stuff. Listen, if you're in Sunday school, you know, we do a pretty good job of taking care of the outside, you know. If you're a woman, if you're a lady, chances are you spend quite a bit of time in the bathroom preparing yourself. And that's why, you know, with households of three or four women, you need many bathrooms just so you can get them out on time. And you know, with us men, you know, we just slap some water in our hair, or maybe just some, you know, we lick our hands and, you know, just paste it down some. And but we do spend a lot of time in taking care of the outside, because that's what everybody sees. And boy, we primp up, and we, you know, we use like a can of hairspray, half a can of hairspray every time we do our hair, just so it doesn't move. And but a lot of times we don't care for the inside. And you know what? If your outside looked like your inside, would you be afraid to, or would you be embarrassed to go out in public? That's a good question, isn't it? You know, if you took care of your outside like you take care of your inside, and I'm talking about spiritually, of course, physically, that's true also. You know, if you eat just McDonald's and fat-filled meats like ribeyes, let's not go there, but you know what I mean. Let's just skip that. But we're talking about spiritually. If you took care of your outside appearance like you take care of your inside spiritually, you know, what would you look like on the outside? That's pretty scary sometimes. And so we're working in Sunday school. We're looking, how do we care for the inside? And if you care for the inside, I promise you, it'll come out on the outside. And so please be faithful. One of the things that help us is being in church and being in Sunday school and in morning service, evening service, Wednesday night, because we get to spend time in the Word of God, and we get to spend time with God and teaching and preaching on the Word of God, and that helps our insides. And if we care for our insides, guess what? Our outside is going to be cared for also. What happens now is we just clean superficially, and we clean the outside superficially, and we come to church, and we know how to dress, and we know how to talk, and we know how to carry our Bibles and so forth, but we fail to care for the inside, and we need to dress the inside. Look at Numbers 21. I'll tell you what, let's pray real quick. Father, bless this morning, and certainly meet with us, and speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us what we need. We love you. And use the scripture, use the passage this morning to do exactly that. Bless now, we ask you, Lord. Amen. Look at verse number 1, Numbers 21, verse 1. Notice the Bible says, when the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And all I want you to see here, there's a battle portrays here. Battle comes to happen, and of course they fight against Israel. They take some of them prisoners. This is after they forego going into the promised land, and after the spies and so forth. Now, and notice verse number 2, and Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, in my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And of course they wanted to get their prisoners back, their fellow brothers back, and they said, if you're with us and you deliver us if you deliver these people into my hand, into the hand of the children of Israel, then I'll destroy their cities. Look at verse number 3, and the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. Now here we have a victory by the children of Israel. And a great victory. They get their prisoners back. They battle King Arad and the Canaanites there, and they have a great battle. Now, is that good or bad? That's good. I mean, a victory, anytime that you win, is good. A W is always good, and L is not so good. A win is good. A loss is not good. Now, but here's what happens. Look at verse number 4. Notice just because you have a victory, just because you have a win, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to continue to win. Just because you have a win doesn't mean that you're going to continue to be on top side, and that you're going to be high, and that you're going to be excited. You know, winning the Super Bowl. Let's see, who won the Super Bowl this year? The Patriots. That's right, the Green Bay won. Who did they play again? Do they have a football team? The Steelers. Yeah, it may have been. Anyway, Green Bay won, and, you know, man, they got the Super Bowl ring, and they were all excited. And you know, but the day after, the week after, a lot of that, they all got to come back down to earth. And that's what happens in life. You know, you experience victories, and you experience wins, and you get a W, and, man, you're all excited, but you can't live on that W the rest of your life. You're going to have to come down, and you're going to have struggles, and you're going to have battles, and you're going to have issues, and you're going to have different obstacles and that bring you back down to the life. You with me? Look at verse number 4. And that's what happened here to the children of Israel. They had won a great victory and so forth. The Bible says they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And what a great victory. Look at verse number 4. Notice what happens then. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Notice what the Bible says next. And the soul of the people was much what? Discouraged because of what? Because of the way. Wow. So they have great victory, and they utterly destroy the cities and destroy the Canaanite, destroy their enemies. They gain the POWs back. They get the POWs back. And as they journey to go to their next destination, the Bible says that their soul, the soul of the people, was much discouraged because of the way. Look at verse number 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth. And, you know, we're sick of this light bread. And the Lord, notice what happens. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The children of Israel had been to battle, and they had won, and they had gotten a great victory, and they had returned the POWs that the enemy had and their prisoners and got them back. And that's good. That's awesome. But in verse number 4, the Bible says that as they continued, notice the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were weary. They were tired. The Bible says that they were much discouraged, not a little bit, not just slightly, but much discouraged. And the reason was because of the way, because of what they had faced and what they had to face and what they were facing. Basically, they were discouraged because of their travels, because of the wilderness, because of maybe families getting sick and children getting sick, or maybe just not healthy, and or obstacles or struggles, the march, the movement. I mean, they were just tired. They were wearied, you know. Kind of like we get, you know, kind of like we feel sometimes when, you know, when life just hits us, and you know, we're tired of the job, and we're tired of life, and we're getting older, and aches and pains, and then life's problems adding up, and you got financial struggles, you got struggles at the job place, and you got these issues, that issues, and the Bible said they were much discouraged because of the way. Perhaps not a bad spirit, and perhaps not a bad attitude. Maybe not even their fault, but they were just going through hard times. They were going through difficult times, you know, kind of like you and I go through. And they were tired and weary, perhaps even understandably so. You know, how many like hiking? Okay, 3 of you do, and that's good. And I enjoy hiking, how many of you enjoy camping? Okay, many more of you do, and that's a wonderful thing. But I'm telling you this, I enjoy hiking and I enjoy camping, but you do it for year after year after year after year after year with never going home, and it starts getting old after a while. You know, and no doubt it was getting old for them. And the Bible says they were much discouraged, and understandably so. You march for that long, and you march in circles, and you do this, and you know, it's understandable that you can get discouraged and tired and weary. But here's where the problem begins. The people then begin to speak against God. And that's not a good thing. That's kind of dumb. And they began to speak against Moses and against God. And that's not too bright. And they began to murmur against God and murmur against the man of God. And they started to complain about everything. Look at verse number 5. And the people spake, what's the next word? Against God. And against who? Moses. And notice what they said. It says, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? They were saying, God, you took us out of Egypt. And yes, I realize that the life in Egypt was not a walk in the park. And I realize the life of Egypt was not a cakewalk. But wait a minute. You brought us here into the wilderness, and we're going to die here. They were complaining about Egypt. Now they're complaining about the wilderness. And they said that there's no bread here. There's nothing to eat here. Neither is there any water. And notice it says, our soul loatheth this light bread. I mean, we're tired of this light bread. We're tired of this manna. And so they started to complain and ache. No doubt the way was hard. That there was no bread. There was no food, no water. Always on the move. No homes. A little shelter. People tired, hurt, sick, and not much along the way. Can you imagine the children? Mom, Dad, what's the question that they always ask? Are we there yet? Not 30 minutes down the trail. Mom, Dad, are we there yet? They did that for years. There was much along the way, and obstacles and illnesses and sickness. But hold it, there was something else. There was God. And he was with them along the way, but it got to the point that they were interested in God. They didn't want God. They didn't want Moses. God, you've got us into a mess. We just need to go back. They had forgotten about the Red Sea, and they had forgotten about the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. They had forgotten about God's provision. They had forgotten God's goodness and God's blessings, and they had forgotten the victory that God had just given them over the Canaanites and King Herod, you see. They'd forgotten all of that. You know, just like we do. You with me? And not only were there times that we get tired of life and of circumstances and tired of problems, but we tend to forget all the good things that God does for us. And there are times when we forget how good God's been to us and how he's blessed us, how he's provided for us, how he's cared for us. And then we too, I guess, like the children of Israel, forget And they forgot, and guess what, began to speak against their God. And they began to murmur against God and murmur against the man of God. And you know what? God got tired of it. And God said, that's enough. And so what God did was he sent them fiery serpents. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel. What's the next word? Died. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like snakes. I mean, I just I never had a liking to them. I never loved them. I remember when I was playing baseball in Iowa, some of the other Iowan boys, they'd find these snakes in the middle of the field and they'd chase me all over the baseball field with that snake. I was just a city boy, there was one day maybe Poppy will remember this. One day we were cutting the grass in Miami. And it is in our home, and all of a sudden, out of the grass, all of a sudden, jumped out this snake. And man, maybe Andrew's age and stuff like that. I said, Poppy, stand back, Bobby, stand back, and I put everybody back. And man, I got the machete or something there, and I started whacking this thing, and I cut that thing in about 5 pieces. I mean, but I was going to take care of my family, and my mom and my dad and myself. And I cut that thing into pieces. I mean, and I saved them. I saved their life at the age of 12. I mean, you listen. You'd have been scared too. That thing That thing was, you know, was like, it looked like a copper. It was light color. It was like almost like a tan, light tan. And the light tan. And that thing, that thing was about this big. I mean, but man, I butchered it and I'd cut it. I cut it into five pieces. That's all I could get out of it. And I looked down and they started to get, don't get close because, you know, it could still bite you dead. The head could jump up and bite you. But God got tired of it, and children of Israel must have hated snakes too. If they didn't hate snakes, if they were snake lovers after this incident, I promise they were hating snakes then. And here's what God said. So God sent them fiery serpents, the Bible says, and they bit the people. They bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Wow. Wow. The Bible says that much of the people, God was fed up with it. God was tired of it. God was sick of it. And he decided to put a stop to it. To put a stop to that, to put a stop to the murmuring and the complaining and the griping and whining of the children of Israel. We need to understand something about God, and I ought to preach on this one of these days, but we need to understand something about God is God provides generously. You know, man, he is good to us, and he gives us, and he provides generously. You know, and God waits patiently for us. You know, he is full of mercy and full of grace, and he puts up with us and puts up with our junk and our griping and whining and complaining. He puts up with all of that. And so God provides generously. He waits patiently. But you know what? God will judge ultimately. You know, God will get to the point where he gets what he's going to judge. And he did judge. And he sent fiery serpents. And so much so that they were biting the people. And the people were dying. Look at verse number 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have what? They realized that they had done blown it. They realized that they had made a mistake, and not only just made a mistake, but made a big mistake, and they had sin. And then notice it says, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, Moses. We murmured and complained and griped and whined about God and about you, Moses. Now notice what their request was. Pray unto the Lord. Go to God on our behalf, that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Notice they were so sick of getting bit, and there were so many people, you know, getting sick and dying, that they went to Moses and they said, pray for us, please. And we're sorry. You know, you're sorry. Many people died as a result of their murmuring. And the serpents were biting the people, and the people were dying, and getting bit by the serpent meant that, guess what, the Jew's going to die. They came to Moses and they said, you know, Moses, we have sinned, and please go to God on our behalf. And Moses went to the Lord on the behalf of the people. Now, here's the interesting thing that, you know, the request was what? For the God to take away the serpent. Lord, Moses, go to God, have him remove the serpent, have him take the serpents away. But the interesting thing is that God didn't take away the serpents. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, notice the instructions that God gave Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. God told Moses, get you a pole and get you a fiery serpent, one that looks like these may have been copperheads, but one that looks like a fiery serpent, and make it and put it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten by the serpent, when they look upon this pole with this brass serpent on it, guess what, shall live. And verse 9 says, Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And you know what a great example. And God said, you lift it up, and people that are bitten, when they see that brass serpent, guess what, they'll live. And that doesn't mean that they'll be healed, and that doesn't mean that they won't hurt, but guess what, that means that they'll live past the pain and the poison and all that there is to it. Now here's the interesting thing, that the Lord didn't take away the serpent because I think he wanted to teach something. He was trying to teach something to the children of Israel. And I think he was trying to teach them two things. Number one, I think that God was trying to teach the children of Israel not to murmur against God or the man of God. God was trying to teach him, you stop your complaining, stop complaining against God, and stop murmuring against God, and stop crying and griping and grumbling, and you're murmuring against God's provision. You're murmuring against what God has given you, and against God, and you're going to get it. And it's going to hurt, and it may even kill you. He says, God is not your enemy. God is your friend. You know, we ought to preach that. We did that in our first couples meeting and at the Valentine's banquet. The title was, hey, your spouse is not your enemy. Well, you know what? I stand here before you this morning and say, you know what? God is not your enemy. He is on your side, and he's here on your behalf, and he wants to help you, and he's not your enemy. But God was trying to teach them that, guess what? God is not the problem, and the enemy is not God, and he's the one that's with you. The second thing that God was trying to teach, I think, the children of Israel was that God would make a way out for them. God was going to make a way for them to escape. And for the Israelites, it was the brass serpent. He said, if you get bit and you look to the brass serpent, guess what? You'll live. In order to live, you had to look upon that brass serpent. And so not only did God have a message for the children of Israel, but he had a message for you and I today and those that have come after. Take your Bibles, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In the scriptures, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look at verse number 14. Jesus here speaking, by the way, approaching some of the greatest, and we looked at it in our Bible study Wednesday night, but some of the greatest verses in the Bible about salvation and about Christ being the gift of God to us for eternal life. Look at verse number 14. Notice what Jesus says. He says, and as Moses lifted up the what? Serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus was speaking about his death and his crucifixion on the cross. And Jesus was saying the same way that Moses lifted that serpent in the air, the serpent of brass in the air, the same way, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look at verse number 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life. And of course, verse 16, one of the greatest verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a great verses. And so guess what? Jesus used the illustration of the Old Testament of Moses lifting up that brass serpent, and for people that were bitten by the serpent, for them to look upon, for them to behold and be spared and live. And Jesus was teaching them, hey, the same way that Moses lifted up that brass serpent, guess what? I'm going to be lifted up, and I'm going to be put on a stick, and I'm going to be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have eternal life. And here's the thing. We need Jesus today. We go through battles. And you know what? We go through struggles and we go through battles. And you know, and sometimes we even win. Sometimes we score. And you know what? That's a great thing. And that's wonderful. That's awesome. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to get tired and weary down the road. That doesn't mean that we're not going to struggle down the road. That doesn't mean that we're going to go undefeated in life. That's not going to happen like that. We win some and we lose some, and sometimes we lose more than we win. You see. But here's the whole thing. As we journey through life, as we go through life, guess what? We're going to get discouraged sometimes. And that's normal, and that's expected sometimes. We face troubles, and we have issues at work, or issues with the boss, or issues at home with the family, or the spouses, or the children, or the teenager. Who doesn't have issues with teenagers? I don't. Because I don't have any yet. But give them a couple more years, so there's issues and car trouble or financial struggles or bills or sicknesses and illness. We all get discouraged, but that's no reason to get mad at God. No reason to murmur against God, and we may even get disgusted with his provisions, like the children of Israel were. Man, we loathe this light bread, and let's be careful because God will judge us. Let's be careful because God will judge us. God provides generously. God waits patiently. But God judges ultimately. So what's our answer? What do we do? What do you do, preacher? You look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He said it. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And you know what? Jesus has been lifted up, and if we look to Jesus, guess what? We'll get what we need. We'll get salvation. Hey, there's only one way to heaven, and there's only one way to be saved. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. So we need to look for Jesus for salvation. We need to look to Jesus for health and for healing. You know, he's the great physician. I mean, you go through the Bible and you see just a little bit of what he did when he was here on this earth and how he touched people and healed people. You know, he can do the same today. We need Jesus for help, and we need Jesus for strength, and we need Jesus for encouragement. We need Jesus for all of that, for healing. We need Jesus. Jesus is the answer. We need to look to him for all. And not only do we need him and look to him for all, but guess what? Others need him. Truth is, we all need him. So we need to lift Jesus up. We need to hold him up. And we need to preach Jesus. And people, why? So people need to be saved. And so people can come to Jesus. So people can behold Jesus, can look to Jesus, and be spared just like the children of Israel were spared. In John 12:32, Jesus said this. He said, And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Why must he be lifted up? So that people can live. And the same way that Moses lifted up that brass serpent into the air, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was lifted up, and they nailed him to the cross. And if he's lifted up, guess what? He'll draw all men unto him. So we must just preach Jesus and tell people about Jesus. We have all been bit by the serpent. We've all been bit by old smutty face, the old serpent, the devil. And guess what? If we're going to live eternally, then we need Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. If you're going to live, then you need to look to Jesus. You don't have to go far to find people if you go out in the street that have been snake bitten, that murmur against God and that they're mad at God. Some have even been bitten by the snake. The Bible talks, we think of liquor. The Bible talks of wine and liquor. It says this in Proverbs. He says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself awry. Notice at the last, when that wine and that strong drink and is, guess what, is done with you, at the last, the Bible says, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Boy, you must be so careful that you don't get bit by the serpent. So many things out there that will bite you. Drugs will bite you, boy, and they'll get a hold of you. You can't get loose. And just like that snake that bit the children of Israel. Gambling, alcohol, pornography, all of that's out there. But here's a great part. If you do get bit by the snake, you can look to Jesus and live. The same way that the children of Israel needed the brass serpent, guess what? We need Jesus. Look and live. We sing that song, look and live. And, hey, where do you go from help? Where do you go for help? Where do you go for life and to get help and to comfort you and encourage you? I tell you where I go to Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing, Jesus. The same way that the serpent is spared by looking to the brass serpent that Moses had lifted up, the same way that it spared the life of the children of Israel, guess what? Looking to Jesus will spare us. Let me ask you, what problem do you have today? What struggle do you face today? What issues are you battling with today? You know, I'll tell you what the answer is. Jesus is the answer. You can look to Jesus. You go to Jesus. What's your poison this morning? What is it that has put a bad taste in your mouth, or maybe it's that has bit you, and all of a sudden you're allergic to it, and maybe you're scratching, or maybe you got side of it. What is it that's? You go to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, and guess what? He'll help you. He'll help you. Father, I pray that you bless this morning. Lord, in some way, somehow, in some manner, we've all been bit by the serpent, the old serpent, the devil. And Lord, if we're going to eternally live, we must look to Jesus. We must look to Christ for answers. We must look to Christ for salvation. We must look to Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and the washing away of our sins. So, Lord, that's so important. If there's one here that's never trusted you as their Savior, if there's one here that's never put their trust in you and received you as their Savior, then, Lord, they certainly need that because they have been bit by the serpent and they're going to die. They're condemned already, the Bible says. But, Lord, it doesn't have to be like that. they can look to you, they can look to Jesus, and they can be saved, they can be healed, they can be spared. And then, Lord, there's others that have trusted you and have looked to you before, and maybe they have gotten saved and have trusted you as their Savior, and they have eternal life, and they're going to heaven, but the truth is, on their way, they've been discouraged, much discouraged because of the way, much discouraged because of life and because of struggles and issues, whether it be jobs or financial or maybe drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it may be. And they have been hindered. They've been bit by the serpent of sin, and they can't seem to be released. They can't seem to be healed from the poison, from the side effects. And Lord, if they look to Jesus and they put their complete trust in Jesus, you will heal them. You will spare them. You will allow them to live. And so, Lord, help us this morning. If the people are not saved, may they get saved. May they come to you for trusting Christ. And then, Lord, if they are saved, then they have struggles, they have issues, they have been bit by the serpent. Well, we have the antidote. We have the medicine that can cure them, that can heal them from their poison bite, and that's the Lord Jesus. So help us this morning, Lord, to look to you.